Thank you, Alison. We begin our news stories. There's recognition for a local nursery. Two arson attacks in 2 weeks have left a local businesswoman devastated, and A-level and GCSE exam results are out. First, a city landlord has called an anti-vaccine mob who descended on his pub bullies.
Phil Cutter, landlord of the murderers in Norwich, was the target of an anti-vaccine protest. The crowd of more than 100, including Piers Corbyn, the anti-vaccine ringleader and brother of former Labour leader Jeremy. It came after Mr. Cutter's decision to limit entrance to his pub to people that had either received one vaccination or could prove that they had returned a negative lateral flow result. Mr. Cutter says the decision is one he had taken to ensure the safety of his staff and patrons, but protesters describe the move as medical apartheid. The mob gathered in the city for a demonstration against Mr. Cutter's decision and the wider rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. Among them was Mr. Corbyn, who was participating in the demonstration as part of a protest trail around the country. He admitted that he had never been in the murderers, but that the measures affected everybody and that he was opposed to it. He said, "Coercism has to be ended. People should have personal choice." Mr. Corbyn, however, did not agree that Mr. Cutter should be allowed personal choice over the conditions for entry to his pub. He added, "We will protest at any business that promotes vaccine passports." Mr. Cutter said, "All I have been trying to do is to make sure my staff and customers are safe and my business can continue. Targeting a small business like mine is bullying and harassment. They absolutely have the right to protest and have their own opinions, but I have the right to have my own opinions too, and I am simply doing what I think is the responsible thing to do." Other pubs may well have thrown in the towel at that point, but I'm sticking to my guns and have seen a real groundswell of support from the city for that.
The pandemic may be far from over, but new figures have revealed further evidence that the era of the pingdemic may soon be behind us. For the second consecutive week, the number of check-ins completed by people visiting bars and restaurants in Norfolk has plummeted as people prepare for changes to the rules around it. And likewise, the number of alerts received by people requiring them to self-isolate has taken a slide. According to the most recent data for the weekend ending August the 4th, 46,658 people completed check-ins while out and about in Norfolk. But while this number in isolation sounds significant, it is a decrease of more than 20,000 on the week before, which had already more than halved for the week prior to that. Kevin Tyler from the Norwich Medical School at the UEA said that the app ceasing to be mandatory had likely contributed to the downturn in use of it, along with impending rule changes. Dr. Tyler said, "You can see people have just voted with their feet and chosen to stop using it." Using it wasn't mandatory anyway.
A woman whose salon was ravaged by two arson attacks in just over 2 weeks has spoken of her devastation at the heartless acts. Michelle Gallagher's Sun Lounge tanning salon on Norwich's Hoare Road was targeted, with a family living upstairs needing to quickly evacuate the building before the fire took hold. A passerby noticed the flames and alerted the family upstairs, who called the fire brigade. Disaster was also averted the second time by another passerby who called the emergency services when he spotted smoke coming from the building.
Time finally caught up with the rest of the world in Norwich as City Hall's long-lost clock hands were replaced after a 3-month hiatus. The hands were removed from the east-facing side of the tower for maintenance reasons back in May, with contractors needing to repair worn-out gears in the clock mechanism. Ever since, people expecting to be able to tell the time from all angles of the iconic clock tower have been sorely disappointed. But no more. The contractors abseiled from the top of the tower to give the clock its hands back, taking around half an hour to do each. The clock is serviced twice a year at a cost of £697 per service. City Hall and its clock tower date back to 1938, and although no extensive records of repairs dating back to the building's construction exist, it is believed the clock's face is original.
Sarah Grodentz from Buxton was at her mum's house in Horsted when she needed medical assistance after falling ill at around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Her daughter sat her in a chair and called 111 at 4:30 p.m. and after 90 minutes a non-urgent ambulance was called. The family received a follow-up call at 8 p.m. saying that there could be a possible 8-hour wait. The family waited until 3:25 a.m. for the crew, 9.5 hours after an ambulance was called. Miss Grodentz said, "I never want to be in that situation again, and people need to know what is going on." The family praised the standard of care the Horsted resident received, both from the paramedics and currently in hospital. The East of England Ambulance Service, EEAST, has reported operations level as very pressured, with warmer weather, large-scale sporting events and the summer holidays making a noticeable change in the use of the service. The Trust said it was seeing a large number of acutely unwell patients. A Trust spokesman said, "We're seeing higher levels of staff sickness than we normally would for August and are putting in place measures to increase the numbers of crews we have on the road, including offering additional overtime. We continue to work with hospitals across the region to support timely patient handover. As a result, some patients may wait longer for an ambulance or be contacted by clinicians to make their way to hospital or healthcare settings if appropriate." The son of a 79-year-old woman said his mum waited 11 hours for an ambulance after falling in her kitchen. A motorist reported seeing 20 ambulances waiting at around 4:30 p.m. at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital's emergency department. The Trust sees around 150 ambulances a day at its emergency department, with numbers exceeding pre-pandemic levels in A&E. Both the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital and East of England Ambulance Service Trust urge patients to consider contacting their pharmacy, GP, for non-urgent issues or 111 for urgent health advice. Former GP and North Norfolk District Council member Dr. Victoria Holliday, who is working to improve response times in the district, said the issues were multifactorial, ranging from staffing and ambulance resources, A&E capacity, to staycation pressures. The North Norfolk Coastal Ambulance Response Times Working Party has worked with the East of England Ambulance Trust on improving the district's response times, which have been among the slowest in the country. She said, "The times haven't come down, but they have not got worse. They said they were pressured the last time we met. There is a post-COVID build-up of illnesses, people being out and about. It is very busy with staycations. There is a whole combination of issues. Not all the solutions fix all of the problems." She added, "Long delays of up to 11 hours cannot be tolerated, but there was no one solution. The paramedics and the Trust is doing their very best to make things better. They really care, she said.
Education chiefs have praised the resilience and determination of A-level students after a big increase in those achieving top grades. After an unprecedented year of disruption to their studies, students have received grades determined by teachers rather than exams. Assessed on what they have been taught during the pandemic, after a year of education hugely disrupted by the pandemic, 44.8% of students in this region have gained A star or A grades, up from 38.3% in 2020. However, the figures published by the Joint Council for Qualifications show that the region's overall A-level pass rate for entries awarded A star to E grades are down slightly to 99.4% from 99.7% last year. Daniel Elmer, Deputy Cabinet Member for Children's Services at Norfolk County Council, said, "We couldn't be prouder of our young people and school and college staff after the courage they've shown throughout the year. This cohort of young people have faced an incredibly challenging and disrupted period of education. Nationally, the proportion of A-level entries awarded an A grade or higher has risen to an all-time high after exams were cancelled for the second year in a row due to COVID-19. Education Secretary Gavin Williamson said students getting their A-level results deserved the grades they got, dispelling worries about so-called grade inflation. He said, "Any debate about the system we've used this year should not undermine or question the value of the grades students will be getting. We should congratulate them all for their resilience and determination not to allow the pandemic to be a barrier to their futures." He added it would have been unfair on students to examine them after more than a year of virtual lessons for many. The minister added an appeals system would allow students to challenge their grades if they believed a genuine error had been made, and that universities had been asked to be flexible in holding open places for these students. Former Bury St Edmunds head teacher Jeff Barton, now General Secretary of the Association of School and College Leaders, said, "It is important to understand that the system used to assess students this year is different from both formal exams and the approach that was used last year too, when an attempt to use an algorithm to standardise grades nationally went wrong and had to be abandoned. It is therefore invidious to make direct comparisons with other years and vital that we celebrate the achievements of this year's cohort who've had to endure so much over the past 18 months.
After the A-level results came the GCSE results. The number of pupils scoring a clean sweep of the highest grade in their GCSEs had increased by more than a third in a year, with more girls achieving straight top grades than boys. The percentage of GCSE students awarded the top grades, 7 to A or above, in the East of England was 28.5%, up from 25.9% in 2020. This is despite the uncertainty of results being given through teacher assessment, not through end-of-year exams, for the second year in a row. Grades are based on ongoing teacher assessment of what students have shown they know and can do based on what they have been taught. John Fisher, Cabinet Member for Children's Services at Norfolk County Council, said, "Every single one of our young people should be proud of what they've achieved this year. In incredibly difficult circumstances, they've shown great tenacity in continuing their studies, despite all the disruptions that coronavirus has thrown their way. Results Day should be a celebration of our schools and education staff as well. Teachers, head teachers, assistants and support staff have worked hard throughout this year to help these students achieve their goals. I want to say a huge thanks to you all who have worked with young people to help them continue their learning this year. Well done to all involved. For those for whom the results envelope contained disappointment, help is still available, he added. Norfolk County Council's Help You Choose website includes options available to young people with a new automated chatbot feature enabling young people to discover which options may be best suited for them. It includes information and advice on different options if they are uncertain about their next step or receive results below their expectations. Advice and support available ranges from CV writing, apprenticeships, vacancies, and information about different careers. It also has advice for parents to help them understand the different options for their child.
A former pub sign will be preserved at the building which is now being converted into homes on the outskirts of Norwich. Plans for the Royal Oak Pub in North Walsham Road, Sprowston, have been approved, which will see the construction of 8 new homes and garages. The pub closed down in 2012, with the building most recently operating as offices before being vacated by a London-based company in 2019. One of the conditions of the planning permission for new homes was that the pub sign could be re-erected as part of the new development. Construction is now well underway at the site, with 2 roofs currently visible for 2 of the 8 homes. Sprowston Town Mayor John Ward said, "This development is welcomed by the Town Council and locals as a good use for the site. As a pub, the site dates back to 1789, though it was demolished in 1858 and rebuilt 7 years later."
3 nurseries in Norwich area have been named in the Nursery Awards 2021, run by daynurseries.co.uk. Featured on the top 20 nurseries in East Anglia were Orkindale Children's Nursery in Taverham, Norwich Montessori School, and Chapelfield Children's Day Nursery, both in Norwich. The awards are based on reviews from the children's guardians, and there is no ranking within the list. Orkindale Children's Nursery on Fir Covert Road in Taverham also won the award in 2019. It is a forest school that has a child-led curriculum for children aged 2 months to 5 years. They focus on tailoring learning to suit the needs of the individual children in order to encourage their independence and love of learning. Norwich Montessori School on Old Wotton Road has won the award previously in 2020, as well as the OMEP Bronze Award for sustainability. The nursery uses the Montessori method and is MEAB accredited. Taking children ages 2.5 to 5, this nursery is also child-led, encouraging children to become self-learners and fostering respect. The Montessori school also has extracurriculars available, like yoga and drama, as well as doing seasonal celebrations and trips to enrich the children's time with them. Chapelfield Children's Day Nursery in both Chapelfield Gardens and in Trouse takes children aged 3 months to 5 years. They aim to create educational opportunities through children's interests and encourage learning through play. The nursery promotes positive behaviour and respect to enable all to develop themselves fully.